Hey everybody, we continue our read-through of the New Testament, and today we begin the letter of 1 Peter. The readers of the Apostle Peter's letter were confused and discouraged by the persecution that they were encountering because of their faith. And Peter exhorts them in this letter to stand strong, repeatedly reminding them of Christ's example, the riches of their inheritance in Him, and the hope of His returning again to take them to heaven. Peter explained how Christians should respond when they suffer because of their belief. Called the Apostle of Hope, Peter's primary message is to trust the Lord, live obediently no matter what your circumstances, and keep your hope fixed on God's ultimate promise of deliverance. Suffering is to be expected, but it is temporary and yields great blessings for those who remain steadfast. So with that introduction of the letter, let's go ahead and read chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So we'll just stop right there before we go any further. That might be one of the most theologically dense introductions or greetings that you will ever read, right? Notice a few things, right? To those who are the elect exiles of the dispersion, right? This is a picture of what it is to be a member of Christ, to be the Israel of the world, the true Israel of God, who are citizens of heaven and as such pilgrims in this world, that we live in exile, that we are not in our home, right? We are awaiting to go home, either when we go to be with the Lord or the Lord comes to gather us. But we are not home in this world. We are pilgrims, exiles passing through. And what has established our elect status, our exile status? Well, first, the foreknowledge of God, right? That is His foreknowing of us. That is not a word of cognition, right, where He looks through the corridors of time, sees who's going to pick them. No, that is the picture of for love, right? Those who He knew, the Hebrew relation to it is yada. Adam knew his wife, right? This picture is intimate love. It is that He placed His affection upon us, right? And so that is what establishes our elect nature, our elect exile status. Secondly, it is our sanctification by the Spirit. The Spirit is at work sanctifying us, and through sanctifying us, setting us apart from the world for obedience to Jesus Christ, right? So we are being set apart to live for Christ. So us being set apart, right, first by the electing love and foreknowledge of the Father, then in this time being sanctified by the Spirit, being changed, transformed away from the world, for a life that is obedient to Christ, right? That is obedient to Christ and that is covered by His blood is what sets us apart as different, set apart, elect exiles in this world, citizens of heaven, pilgrims passing through. Peter continues, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired it carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. things into which angels long to look. All right, we'll stop there. Man, it just gets more and more dense, doesn't it? But it's so important here. This is so, so incredible. Peter doesn't begin this letter with compassionate sympathy or sorrow to those who are suffering, but with a bold cry of victory and a song of worship. It seems as if he's minimizing the pain, but he's not minimizing their pain. Rather, he's raising their eyes above and beyond their suffering to God and his plan to rescue and satisfy them forever. To our 21st century consciences, that might seem insensitive. Our counseling and sensitivity conditioning says we should be quiet, somber, and apologetic in this situation. But Peter presents a different approach. In fact, his next words are, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, that you've been grieved by various trials," right? Peter takes the potential of their lifelong pain, perhaps violent, even fatal, which in many cases it was, and makes it sound like just a bad day, maybe a week, right, when he says just a little while. Some of us desperately need to be bold, we need to be slow to speak and gentle when speaking and slow to declare answers or solution. There is wisdom oftentimes in the slow to speakness and gentleness that is often marked and told about in scriptures. However, right, there is also a time, right, when we should lead people to worship, right, to lift their eyes to God. Notice Peter never undermines their pain or their suffering, and we need to be very careful. And so perhaps the best thing to do, rather than trying to be our own version of Peter, is simply point them to the words of Peter and let them see the glorious truths found in this reality, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the midst of their suffering and the reality that there is a purpose in it, and that purpose is that their faith can be tested and it can be proven and shown genuine. That is, it can be strengthened and grown. And in the midst of their pain, in the midst of this light and momentary affliction that they are going through, they can look and know that it is for a purpose. And more importantly, how Peter closes in this concept here is that not only can they look to the pain and know that it is being worked for their good, but they can look to Christ himself who endured such pain. That which the prophets had foretold about the nature of Christ who would endure suffering, and that those prophets who wrote those things regarding Christ did so to serve the new covenant believer today. That all the things the prophet foretold, right, they looked and longed to see in Christ, and we now behold fully in the suffering of Christ. And so the idea here is that in the midst of the pain, right, the call is to know that your pain has a purpose, that it isn't meaningless. And if you think that you've been wronged by God, then look to the Son. Look to the Son who suffered himself for you and know that his suffering was for a greater purpose. It was for your salvation and your suffering in the midst of this present time, this light momentary affliction is for your sanctification, your being made like the one who came to suffer for you. And so the idea is when things are going terrible around you, set your eyes above, set your eyes on the hope and the glories of Christ who suffered for you. Our knowledge that we have a big God that eclipses every pain. And therefore he calls us now to a life of holiness, not vengeance, not fighting back, but remaining holy for the Lord, because our faith is being tested and forged in the flames of suffering. Verse 13, therefore, preparing your mind for action and being sober minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as a father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so here is the call to holiness, right? Don't slip into the world. Don't let the pain and persecution cause you to slip away from what you have in Christ, right? You've been ransomed from those futile ways, not by perishable things like silver and gold, but you are called away, drew away, ransomed, purchased, bought by the precious blood of Christ, who himself is holy and who himself came to die and give himself for us, but has been raised to glory and forever is seated, declaring the victory of God over the world. And so, saints, in the midst of what seems to be temporary and often perceived losses in the world, know that they are not losses, but you belong to the victor himself, Christ Jesus. Therefore, having your souls purified by your obedience to the truth, right? The reality that you live in light of the word of God, that you maintain a brotherly love and purity. Know that you've been born again, that your faith, your obedience, your steadfastness is a picture that you've been born again, not by perishable seed, right? Not of the flesh, but of imperishable. That is the Spirit of God. And that regeneration comes through the preaching of the Word, right? The Word of God is what produces faith in believers. It is the Word of God that is acted upon by the Spirit of God to place the life of God in believers, right? And that is why the word of the Lord remains forever. The gospel remains of the forever. The truth of the gospel remains forever. And so no matter what happens in the life, no matter how fleeting and fading the world around you is and the flesh is, know that if you are in Christ, you are in the truth. You have the good news of his saving grace upon you forever and ever, and it will not fail or fade no matter what happens to you in this world. So take heart, weary believer, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the sorrow. You have a big God and a big Savior. You have been sealed and sanctified by a big Spirit, and therefore let your pain melt away in the glories of what you have in Christ. God bless.